Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey and as always I'm joined by my co-host Luke Cutforth and special guest Jake Pemberton.
Hooray!
Hi.
This week we're talking about digital diseases and MMO maladies.
So viruses and massive multiplayer online hacks, something like that.
Games.
Yeah. Kind of close. But first, we got a wee review.
Ooh, a wee review.
So this one says, I started listening to this podcast to get me through night shifts at a supermarket over LOCL down.
Lockdown.
Gotcha.
Good work.
It's been so long, yeah. I don't even remember. I'm now studying a master's in science communication and using this as a case study for a piece of excellent SciComm. Thanks for keeping me entertained and teaching me a few things. Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
If you want to leave a review, head to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you want to leave a review, leave the best review.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Yeah. Of course, obviously.
Especially if you hate it.
Yeah, especially if you hate it. Because nothing will stick it to us more than giving us an empty 5-star review. That really hurts me. If you give me a 5-star review, but I know it wasn't genuine, oh, that's going to hurt my feelings. Anyway, got a question for everyone who's watching or listening or whatever it is you do. If you're listening, head to YouTube, get down to the comments and answer this question. The question is, do you play video games? And more specifically, have you played World of Warcraft?
I don't. Luke has. Luke has played it excessively.
What?
Me and Luke used to play Modern Warfare 2 together all the time. Luke would always like say awful things to me over Xbox voice chat.
That's funny because Luke says terrible, awful things to me now.
He does. He messaged me afterwards and said you should change your username to 5000 Hawks because that's the midpoint of 10,000 and you're mid. Because you're a gamer.
I'm just going to debunk everything you've said by saying I've never had an Xbox. So you're wrong.
Even worse, you stole your Xbox, Luke? How terrible.
On paper, you've never legally owned an Xbox. But according to the police report.
So let's actually get into the topic. If you thought that Blizzard weren't bad enough, on September 13th, 2005, they unleashed a plague upon the world of Warcraft.
Yes! Yes! Got him!
No, okay, so a little bit of background. What is World of Warcraft? Anyone know what World of Warcraft is?
It's a massively multiplayer online role-playing game. Probably the massively multiplayer online role-playing game. Very much from when did it start? Was it 2005?
It was 2004.
2004. It's still going now. It's definitely not the titan that it once was, but it's a big franchise and a big deal in the history of big online games.
I mean, are MMORPGs still as big as they used to be?
Yes, but
really?
They've changed significantly.
It's more now.
I want to say the massively multiplayer online thing is more like, you guys know Fortnite, right?
Yes. Games
like that. So it's more like that, where the massively multiplayer element has been rapidly simplified down to just the base levels of shooting,
just battle
or
royale,
gameplay
basically.
Or battle royale, whereas MMO role-playing games with stuff like RuneScape, basically.
Yeah, but really so MMORPGs version. Have kind of dwindled out.
The big one
been
at
replaced
the moment
by MMOFPS.
In a sense, the big one at the moment is Final Fantasy 14.
Oh yeah,
that's still
okay.
Going. That's the current big one. But World of Warcraft was the one that kind of set the template for really popular MMOs. Basically,
yeah. If you think of an MMO, you're probably thinking of World of Warcraft.
I just played Habbo Hotel.
Okay, so World of Warcraft, as we said, a massively multiplayer online role-playing game, or MMORPG. It was released in 2004 by Blizzard Entertainment, now Activision Blizzard. Thank you. Yeah, I'm a gamer, I know. So World of Warcraft, I didn't know this before looking into it, despite the fact that I'd been adjacent to World of Warcraft for quite some time. It was set in the Warcraft fantasy universe. It's kind of a sequel to a bunch of other Warcraft games. And it's still running now. It's the same game that's been there since 2004. They've just added a whole bunch of expansion packs.
Yes.
So I didn't realize that.
What they did is they spent many, many years adding new expansions. And then a couple years ago, they brought out a new expansion, which was just the original vanilla version of the game.
Yeah.
And it crashed all their servers because it went all the way back to the original. No, not because it was broken, but because so many people wanted to play the original.
Yeah, fair. There's been I think 11 extra expansions. Mm. I mean, there's been a ton. And you know, I mean, you've got the one with the pandas, you've got Battle for Azeroth in 2018, Shadowlands in 2020. Yeah, this was in 2010, so this was like prime Kung Fu Panda time.
Do you know my Kung Fu Panda story?
I don't know your Kung Fu Panda
story. My Kung Fu Panda story is so tragic. I was offered a part in Kung Fu Panda 2.
Wow.
As a voice actor.
Cool.
A small part, but a part, and I forgot to reply to the email.
Jesus.
So I didn't get it.
Oh
my
God.
You could have met Kung Fu
Panda. You could have been in Kung Fu Panda 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have.
What was the role?
I can't remember. It was about 10 years ago. Yeah.
I'm glad to see Kung Fu Panda, you know, the story set in China, giving opportunities to a Chinese actor such as Luke.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're listening, Luke is Chinese.
Yes.
We've never mentioned it before because it's never been relevant. But this entire time, Luke has been Chinese.
Yes, well.
You have to go to YouTube to find out the truth. Yeah, so the game takes place in Azeroth. I assume that's a world? It's the world? Have you played World of Warcraft?
I played the free trial an awful lot. Because, as in like multiple times, because I was like 13 at the time and I had no money and there was no way that my mom was going to pay for the monthly subscription that you had to pay. Because this was like, World of Warcraft, I was like a militant Nintendo gamer and that was my whole shtick. And then as I got a little bit older, it was like, oh no, other places have nice games as well, including PC, which World of Warcraft was the king of. And it was always on this like pinnacle above all others because it was this whole other universe where there's people walking around and stuff. But it was, you know, this was sort of the era before social media was absolutely everywhere and being online with other people all the time was like just a done thing. So I don't think, and it cost money, like not an unsubstantial amount of money every month as well. So
but like enough, it cost a decent.
And it was like, and I think just because I had no money at the time, I don't think my mum was like, I'm not paying so that you can run around with strangers on the internet as an elf. Like, so, but I played, but I could still get my hands on the free trial that you get for like a whole month. Multiple times, and I played it so much that I almost missed my sister's birthday at one point. That's like the height of like the World of Warcraft. Like,
I love that you were so obsessed with World of Warcraft that you almost missed your sister's birthday without ever having paid
in.
For it.
No, I
incredible,
got sucked in.
Fantastic.
So I played a whole bunch of it, and I'm very familiar with it.
But World of Warcraft, it is literally a world. So you've got cities, and then sort of jungles and caves that are unexplored and just sort of like really long stretches of countryside and whatnot between all of those things. Like, it is built like an actual world. And you've got, you know, I think you've got like sort of, what is it, auctions and markets and NPCs and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. You can think of it as like an actual world,
it's
because it basically
world.
Is supposed to operate like that. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's about 10 million active players, or at least at some point there were 10 million active players, which is an insanely high number of people, right? Because like, they're all paying for this as well. So
it's a lot of nerds.
It's a lot of nerds. Exactly. Almost as many nerds as listen to SciGuys, I assume. 10 millions. That's less than what we pull in, right?
Rounding down. Yeah.
Yeah. That's World of Warcraft. Now I want to ask you a slightly different question. What is a pandemic?
Fun as hell. That's what it is. Yeah.
I'll give a shot. It's something that spreads across multiple countries to make it separate from an epidemic. And it is some kind of like virusy, bacterial infection-y thing.
Surely it's more of like the pandemic is the range at which something has spread, rather than the specific thing itself that is spreading, right?
So the definition I've got from Britannica is pandemic is an outbreak of infectious disease that occurs over a wide geographical area and that is of high prevalence, generally affecting a significant proportion of the world's population, usually over the course of several months. I wish. Pandemics arise from epidemics, which are outbreaks of disease confined to one part of the world, such as a single country. Yeah, so a pandemic is kind of
it's
a kind of
loose-ish
definition.
It's the spread of the thing rather than the thing itself.
Yeah.
Because you can have like a pandemic of like Yu-Gi-Oh fans. Yu-Gi-Oh is spreading across the world. It's the Yu-Gi-Oh pandemic.
The Yu-Gi-Oh craze of the 1990s.
I don't know why I went to Yu-Gi-Oh. I could come back to World of Warcraft.
I'd like to take issue with what you've just said. I don't think you can have a pandemic of Yu-Gi-Oh fans. I think you can ironically describe them as a pandemic.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be a correct use of the word.
I don't know. A pandemic, outbreak of infectious disease. Yeah. If that doesn't describe Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans, then I don't know what does.
That would be like a meme-demic.
Yeah. At what point does a craze become a pandemic, is what I mean.
Probably when it's infectious disease.
When it's detrimental to society.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a loose-ish definition in terms of the scale of it.
Yeah.
Because people were saying, you know, back at the start of the last pandemic that happened, oh, you saying global pandemic is redundant. No, it's not. It just isn't. A pandemic is over a wide area affecting more than one country, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely affecting more than one country. But more than one country isn't the entire world. So global pandemic is fine.
Is basically, there like a percentage of a population by the time they're infected that it quantifies as a pandemic?
This is where we need our categories aren't real, button Corey.
They're not real. Exactly. So look, a pandemic, I don't think there is a strict percentage definition.
Yeah.
For one reason, it'd be really difficult to get the exact numbers on how many people are infected and over what period of time. It's kind of difficult. Generally, if you've got an infectious disease of pretty extreme significance affecting multiple countries, a lot of people in those countries, that would be a pandemic. You know, if governments have to start actually doing something, probably a pandemic.
Sure.
Oh, so the last one wasn't a pandemic then.
I said if they have to start doing something, not whether they did actually start doing something.
It's the point where the government go, oh God, and whether or not they actually do anything afterwards. Yeah. So
back to pandemics, throughout history, they have been pretty significant. In terms of, they tend to cause quite a few changes, obviously, because governments usually need to adapt to them. People need to adapt to them. And, you know, I mean, they could bring on quite big changes in sort of culture or how we deal with sort of certain things. And also they could push forward medical science to some degree. And, you know, big pandemics throughout history. We've got the Black Death. We've got the flu pandemic of 1918 to 1919. Any more pandemics you know about? No. No.
The other one.
No.
The other one.
We're not talking about that one.
Yeah, the other one.
No, as soon as we mention that one, I then have to fight the YouTube censors
to
keep this video up. And I can't do that another time this year.
What about the spread of YouTubers in 2009?
That was a bad one.
That was the worst one.
God, that was really bad. We should have just burnt down YouTube at the...
Maybe just the world.
From the outset.
There we go. Yeah, but there's apparently other pandemics. I say apparently. There are other pandemics, you know, ones caused by AIDS, you know, HIV. And then also malaria, which isn't sort of directly transferred between people. That's transferred, obviously, via mosquitoes. So, you know, pandemics aren't necessarily just, oh, I've got a flu and I pass the flu to you and you pass the flu to you. There are other sort of mechanisms of transmission. But that is pandemics. That is World of Warcraft. What is the significance of the two of them?
World of Warcraft had a pandemic.
It did. It did have a pandemic.
It was
did
wild,
you know about
apparently.
This?
As in the game?
Yeah. In the game, there was a pandemic. Shall we get into it?
Yes, please.
So this is one of my favorite stories. So, as I said, on September 13th, 2005, there was an update that essentially added a new area to the World of Warcraft. This place was called Zul'Gurub, which was kind of jungle-like, and it was essentially only made for the sort of highest level players, like the really strong people, right? You weren't getting any noobs in there. I'm a gamer. So inside of this new section, there was this sort of final boss character called Hakkar. That's with two Ks. It's Hakkar.
Hakkar the Soul Flayer.
So Hakkar was obviously a sort of final boss character. He was supposed to be very difficult to defeat. This big winged serpent. He was kind of like a vampire-y kind of guy as well. So he would start sucking your life force when he started to get low on health. So he would cast this spell, Corrupted Blood, and as I said, it would suck your health into his. Right? He would just replenish his health from yours. And when you got close to other characters, it would sort of transmit it to them, so they would also be sort of, they'd have Corrupted Blood cast on them, just through proximity, right? And it made you lose health, sort of, you know, over time, obviously. But these were very high-level players, so it wasn't that big a deal. You were losing a little bit of health. The way that you got around this, apparently, was you poisoned yourself, and that would then poison him because he was taking from you. I don't know. This is all, like, as someone who's never actually played World of Warcraft, and my main sort of experience with it has been through my friends and through that one South Park episode. I don't really know what's going on here. I don't know how any of this works, man. Like, it just seems... I don't understand how this could be an actual game.
It's a world, it's a world, dude. It's not just a game. It's a world.
Jesus Christ.
Of Warcraft.
I'm regretting bringing you on already. No. So,
yeah.
This really difficult boss, you go in and he starts sucking your health, right? Totally fine. Once you beat him, you can just leave. And the spell stops, right? It's all good. It's totally fine. Now, there was one slight catch there. If you have, say, a pet, I'm just going to call them pets. You've got like these sort of animal companions. They could also get infected with this spell, which isn't a big deal, right? You know, you could just leave. And when you leave the area, the spell ends. Except you could do this thing with your pets where you essentially put them in stasis, right? You can, you just kind of
you put them
pause
in your pocket.
Them.
Pokemon style.
Yeah, right? And people would do that during big boss fights because they didn't want to sort of, I guess, jeopardize the well-being of this companion. So they would do that, they put it away. And then they would leave that area. And so Patient Zero did this. He saved his pet. And then he left the area and they let his pet out. And when he did that, due to some kind of programming bug or oversight, the pet still had the corrupted blood. Sort of spell cast on them, which again for high level players is not a big issue. But as I've said, World of Warcraft is a world. It's this densely packed world with cities and like all of this sort of all these sort of like interconnected systems, and so people started to die pretty quickly because there were low level players who were never ever ever intended to be able to even reach that part of the game that were suddenly infected with this spell that was just draining them of their health. And if they went near any other character, they would also be infected with it. And they would start to lose their health. Characters started dying so quickly.
Now, what happens when you die in World of Warcraft?
So, if I remember correctly, your character dies on the spot, and then you become a little ghost. And you have to... Basically, there are like all these various sort of save points, like magical stones around the world, where the last one you walked past... You then respawn there as a ghost, and you then have to go and find your dead body in order to then sort of reincarnate it. Or I want to say you can pay like an exorbitant amount of in-game currency to just instantly snap to the body or something.
Do you you keep all your items and stuff that you've gathered?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think if you find your body again, you get it back. It's been a while. But I mean, fundamentally, you have to, you know, you die elsewhere. You then have to make all the trouble to go and find your body. And whether, I don't know if there's like a certain amount of time where if you don't find it in time, you lose everything. Or...
So eventually, like half the players are just ghosts.
Well, yeah. But also, let's say you resurrect and you resurrect where your body was, which is a really densely packed area. Yeah. You're just dying.
Because I was going to say, did you mention, Corey, just how contagious it was? Because that was the thing.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm getting into it. This is the tip of the iceberg.
Because the kicker with corrupted blood is that anyone, if you have it, you can pass it to anyone in your immediate proximity.
Literally
which is
why, anyone that's next to you, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I've got a quote here. This says, every time you'd summon that pet, you'd reinfect yourself and all the players around you, and it wouldn't check if you were in a raid, so you'd do it while you were in town, and the entire town would get corrupted, said Shane DeBerry, who was the chief of staff for Blizzard at the time. So, as I said, weak characters were just killed, then they'd resurrect, sort of respawn, and then they'd die again after a few seconds, because, again, think about the difference in HP between a low-level character and a high-level character. It's going to be pretty significant. So something that is a minor annoyance to a high-level character, or at the very least, you know, a slight bump in difficulty for a high-level character, is just a death sentence for a lower one. Sorry, this is really bloody funny.
It's great. It's mad.
And, you know, if you're a high-level character, this isn't going to bother you too much. You're going to be... You've got plenty of time to be healed, you know, and
you can
walk away
it.
Fine. Sorry?
You can take it.
Yeah, you can take it before you get you get treatment. Because there are people that would come and heal you, you know, like actual players that would spend time healing other players. And because you can fast travel in World of Warcraft as well, which essentially just means, let's just call it like teleporting to another sort of really populated place, right? You could hop between cities, and if you didn't realize that you were infected, or, you know, you were trying to get away or trying to go somewhere else, boom, suddenly everyone else in your vicinity is immediately infected, right? That is just one part of it. That is just one part. If we then move on to the fact that there aren't just player characters in World of Warcraft, there are also NPCs, non-player characters, it gets so much worse. Jake, what do you know about NPCs?
Non-playable characters.
Yeah, in World of Warcraft.
Everywhere. Yeah? They're everywhere. But they're people who you go to, you buy stuff from, they give you quests, you do... They exist in the world independent of players. They have their own health bars and they're able to do actions in the world. I want to say, because the thing we kind of haven't talked about is that the world of Warcraft is split between these two factions, mm-hmm. the Horde and the Alliance, mm-hmm. and you've got like peak like stronghold areas in these towns which are populated. That's where like low level players will start,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they hang out at the beginning so they can walk around and not
immediately die.
So like say you play in the Alliance and massive level, it would be very difficult for a very high level Horde player to come into this stronghold and just start wiping out noobs, babies, mm-hmm. because these strongholds are full of incredibly strong NPCs who are just like there guarding the place. And as I imagine Corey's about to say, they can also catch the corrupted blood.
Oh boy, can they? Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. Yeah. The NPCs are intentionally built to be incredibly strong, because the last thing you want is for player characters just to be mowing down NPCs. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, you know, if you've got someone from, you know, the opposite side, let's say the opposite faction coming in and trying to kill, you know, all the people there,
yeah.
that's an issue. But also, just if you're trying to kill any NPC, it's a bit of a pain in the arse, right? You don't want that happening. So their HP is set like super high. They are incredibly powerful, which means they do not die.
Oh my god!
From this corrupted blood spell,
they carry it around.
They just get kept alive by the nature of the game, but they still hold the yeah.
And also, you can't tell when an NPC is infected.
Yeah.
So they were quite literally asymptomatic carriers of this plague, of this sort of like spell, of this curse.
They're
right?
the ones who are there facilitating the actual gameplay. So
yes.
If you're a player and you go up to them because you have to talk to them for the nature of a quest, mm-hmm. you go up to them and you just get given this awful plague.
Immediate death.
They're the Joe Rogan fans who think they're really, really, really healthy, so they don't need to take their vaccine.
Mm. Yeah.
And then they actually are either asymptomatic carriers or not as healthy as they think they are. Or, yeah, they spread it, but they are fine, but they spread it to people who are not fine.
Yeah. Mm. And this was so bad. This was so, so bad in that there were literally skeletons lining the city streets. Because when you die, there's a little skeleton that stays there. There were skeletons lining the streets. It was like genuinely horrific. I wish I could have actually seen it, because
there's very interesting. There's pictures and old internet videos of it where you go and you see it is literally just this like big stronghold city, and it's just skeletons as far as the eye can see.
It's insane.
And it's kind of
nuts. Wow.
Wow, this is like it's like an event in internet history. It's amazing.
Look at that. Every single one of those is a dead player. Is a dead player's body. So basically, because like I said, there are now loads of ghosts just running about trying to find their body. And as soon as they will resurrect, there's a very good chance that they will then catch it again and the skeleton party continues.
That is like traumatic. It's horrible.
Yeah, and imagine if you've like, you know, this game came out the year before, right?
Mm.
Imagine if you'd poured about a year into this game, because it is one of those games that you genuinely just can pour a ton of time into, right?
I miss your sister's birthday.
No, if you're a horrible person, you might do that. But so imagine the trauma of just not being able to like actively play this game that you've been pouring so much time into. It would genuinely be incredibly upsetting. So people started to act the way you would maybe expect them to. Or rather, I guess they acted in unpredictable ways that you would somewhat expect people to act, right? And, you know, as I said, the shopkeepers were... the shopkeepers and other NPCs were asymptomatic super spreaders. The powerful characters, like the strong characters, didn't have to worry too much. So you could think of them as like healthy adults throughout this pandemic. And everyone else is like immunocompromised, elderly, quite young.
Yeah.
The people that are vulnerable, like the lower level players are the people that are vulnerable. And they were just dying so quickly. And literally, you could see people reacting to this the way they would react to an actual pandemic. Yeah. It was really, really interesting. There are some differences. We'll get into that in a bit. But it was really, really, really interesting. So, insanely, when the news of this started to spread, you know, when the news broke, what do you think people did?
If I'm not wrong, there was a whole bunch of people who thought that it was some sort of pre-planned thing and thought Blizzard were like, they had made some sort of like incredible, oh my God, it's a global event in the world of Warcraft. Oh. And there were people who were being like, idiots, it's not a plague, it's like a great, cool, fun gameplay feature. So that was definitely something that a bunch of people did.
Yeah, they logged in. Yeah, people like literally, like exactly that. People were like, oh cool, let's see what this is about. Logged in, died.
instantly.
Like, bear in mind, if you're not a high level player, you are not surviving it. You are dying.
Did they start quarantining themselves?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
This is only the start. So, this is still the stage where it's like rumor of it starting to happen, and people in World of Warcraft are going on their own podcasts and being like, "Hear about this?
This is January 2020, January, February 2020." Yeah,
where it's like, "What's that about? Is this a thing?
I don't know if it's a thing." Blah blah blah. And then it was so a thing.
It was whole thing.
So there were people. I mean, and I literally have a quote here from someone who wrote a paper on this, saying there were people who were trying to be first responders.
Yeah.
So they were going into the densely populated areas and trying to heal people before they died.
Yeah.
Now this was difficult, obviously, because they would die really quickly, but also they would then get infected themselves. And then they might spread it to other people as well. And so, like, you had people trying to protect others. This is like, obviously, this is a parallel to, like, you know, actual healthcare workers during an actual pandemic, where they're like, they will get infected from, you know, trying to help others. You've got people, you know, another really strong parallel between this and actual pandemics is spreading through animals. Like, because the outbreak was literally because of someone, you know, giving it to their pet. And then the pet spreading it to other people. It was literally a zoonotic virus in the game. The same as most pandemics are in real life. Mm. It was insane. So, I mean, again, I've got another quote here. This is from Eric Lofgren, who wrote a paper on this. He said, "You do get people who go to work even though they're sick because economic circumstances demand it, or to not let down their team. We're also seeing some people not taking it seriously and willfully ignoring the risk, which is parallel to intentionally spreading it." Mm. So there were people, again, called, you know, griefers, which is just a general kind of video game term for someone that wants to make you have a bad time. Mm. They were going around and intentionally spreading it. Yeah. They were just doing what they could to get as many people as possible infected, because I mean, in this sense, understandable, because it's just a game.
I was going to say, like,
it's just a game.
It, obviously, people who would intentionally do that in real life.
Horrible.
Right, okay. but in the context of it being a video game run by a $1 billion company.
Yeah.
That's pretty, you know.
That's pretty funny. It's pretty funny, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So this lasted for, I mean, it had a really big impact for a good few days, right? So, I mean, another quote here. "The capital cities, which were very densely populated and the central social and economic hub of the game, became very hard to live in. There were some fairly significant disruptions to the economy of the game." So you do make money in World of Warcraft, and I don't know what it, I think it's like some sort of like auction or barter thing. You've got to go to a certain place and there's an NPC you speak to. People were like, "Look, I cannot not make money.
Yeah.
I need to do this." So they went out and they did it. They infected that NPC, who would unwittingly then infect so many other people. Like, the parallels between this and what we've been through the past few years is actually insane.
Is this what the government was talking about when they said they were modeling the spread of the virus with University College London? They were just playing an old version of World of Warcraft.
I mean, genuinely,
poor comparison.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
it's genuinely not unrealistic. Mm. It is very realistic to use games like these to model pandemics, and that's literally what we're just about to get into after we talk about the containment efforts. So people went nuts, because of course they did. It's a very
such a stupid story.
It's a stupid story, but it's like, if you're in it, it's such a scary situation, right?
Yeah.
This, like, because, okay, put it this way.
Yeah.
If everyone in this game is just suddenly dying, that's scary for Blizzard, because oh God, people are not going to continue playing our game if they can't play it.
Yeah.
It's scary for players, because they're like, I've sunk so much time into this.
Yeah.
and now it's just all gone to nothing? What has happened? Has it been hacked? Is it like a glitch? Is it what is going on? Mm. They don't know. There's no answers. So
maybe it was the Russians.
Maybe, who knows? That's the thing. They didn't know if it was intentional or not. It literally could have been the Russians for all they knew. Mm. Back in 2005.
In the moment, it was very like, because the whole thing happened because of just one. It's such a massive game.
Yeah.
That one little bit of oversight has resulted in this intense tiniest global situation.
Wow. Exactly. Mm. The
imagine
tiniest
being the person who is responsible for coding the behavior of of the virus, like stopping working when you leave the area, like, and you just forget to do it. Like,
yeah.
If animal is in inventory and you leave the area, also update the status that it's not got this blood disease. Mm. There's literally probably one line of code.
It's one little switch.
Yeah.
But I want to say, I mean, I imagine you'll go into it more, but
yeah, go for it. Go for
would
it.
You just say? Because like, it then because it spread so fast, and I want to say it was in one particular server at the beginning, and then it start the same thing happened because World of Warcraft is so big and there's so many people that it's split into different, like all the players from Europe might be in one end and all the players from Asia might be in another, but the same thing was happening in every single server. So it was one little oversight that resulted in this mass spread. By that point, you couldn't just turn it off because it's already spreading around. You could turn off the source, but you can't turn off what's already happening to other people.
Yeah.
And then that is then happening in every single one of your massive, massive, intricately coded servers. Yeah.
So this is not like an easy fix. Mm. And we'll get into what they did to fix it in just a sec, but it's not an easy fix at all.
Mm.
They went through a lot of different stuff, right? So, I mean, it says here Blizzard staff weren't entirely sure what to do either. They knew it wasn't intentional, but how do you contain the problem?
Mm.
So they tried to get people to quarantine voluntarily. They were like, hey, if you've got the disease, stay in this place, please. People did not do that. Crazy. Crazy that people wouldn't do that. What is that all about? Anyway, it didn't work. So, like, as I said, some people were, like, intentionally spreading it in response to this. They tried to get people to not just like sort of quarantine, but also just self-isolate, not like play the game.
Yeah.
You know, and like there was almost, they tried to quarantine, like a less of a voluntary quarantine. It says that people started to escape the quarantine.
Yeah.
So like they couldn't, there was no way of stopping people from doing what they were going to do, essentially. They tried to get people to flag themselves as infected if they were, which didn't work. I mean, this is like so, there's so many parallels here. It's actually insane. And bear in mind, this was in 2005. You know, this was a good 15 years before 2020, and we all know what happened in 2020. And, you know, it says here that it was surprisingly similar to a real outbreak, which absolutely, like, I'm just going to read this out here. It originated in a remote region, and both characters and animals were spreading it, just like some types of flu. You can tell when this article was written. It was spread by close contact. It affected urban areas the most, and some individuals were asymptomatic and virtually immune, the strongest characters, and it bore all the hallmarks of a true epidemic, with one scary feature: it couldn't be stopped. Like, it literally could not be stopped. And it's insane that this fake world suddenly has an actual, like, real-life pandemic happening in this world. Anyway, nothing worked. They couldn't do anything. And after, you know, more than a week of just like desperately doing anything they could to stop this, they just reset the server.
Yeah.
They gave up. They were like, no, we cannot do anything. But they reset the server.
They just hard reset.
Hard reset. Yeah.
As in everyone lost everything they'd ever done.
Not everything they'd ever, they'll have like reset
points.
Reset
it to back when, before this happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it really just a week?
It was just over a week.
Right.
I mean, sorry, it was just over a week of them trying to do something. I think I think it was from September 13th to maybe October 5th. Let me double check that.
That's so, like, when you think about, I mean, if you think about the past few years and the pandemic that we've all experienced and just how long that was, to think about this all happening in the space of like a week.
Yeah.
In that entire very large,
I think it was about three weeks. So September 13th to October 8th, 2005. And bear in mind, the game only launched in 2004. This was a year into it. I mean, that's, it still went on to be, and I mean, it was and went on to continue to be the biggest MMO RPG in the world for a long, long time, despite the fact that a year in, everything went tits up. Like, absolutely everything. So, as I said, they did a hard reset, which we can't do, but they did a hard reset because they had no other option. Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
Hark the ad bell, he does sing.
He sings for Patreon, I think. If you head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/SciGuys, you can get a whole host of cool things. What can they get, Luke?
Oh, blooming heck. They can get so many things. There's bonus episodes. You can request topics for episodes. There's an entire other show called After Dark where we discuss sort of philosophical things and just general discussion, the kind of stuff that you imagine we talk about after we've finished recording. Well, that is when we do it, so that is what we do. And lots of other stuff. What else is there?
You get your name at the end of every single SciGuys episode. You can also vote on topics. You get to choose what we do. And at the end of the episode that's voted on by our patrons, if it's your first month being a patron, you get thanked by name. By us, the SciGuys. Isn't that fun?
That is really fun. I'll use my vocal cords to say your name with a 50% probability because Corey says half of them.
That's very true. So head to our Patreon at patreon.com/SciGuys. As I said, you know, it became like a full-blown pandemic in the game and some people started to take notice of it. Obviously, there were some people that were gamers, and some people that are gamers do actually have lives. And just one of those people, or just a few of those people, decided to write a paper or two on it. So, I mean, I've read those papers, and they are mad interesting. Mm. They're essentially looking at sort of this Corrupted Blood incident and seeing how it could be valuable to sort of model the spread of real-world diseases. So why do you think it's particularly useful to use an MMO as opposed to any other sort of model?
Because you're dealing with like people's free will, like their ability to make their own choices and the variability that that brings.
You're dealing with human, actual human behavior.
Yeah.
In an isolated, in a controlled setting.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, obviously there are some differences between this and an actual sort of outbreak, but yeah, you're spot on. You've got people's actual behavior, actual human behavior, which is relatively unpredictable. Mm. And there haven't been a whole lot of pandemics in, you know, let's say recent history, right? There are few and far between, thankfully. So we don't have much data to really understand how people react. I mean, we have a general idea, but when it comes to like getting nitty gritty sort of actual data on this, it's really, really difficult. And our models are obviously limited just in the fact that any model you make is never going to accurately capture human behavior. But this, oh boy, did it. I mean, again, there are some differences. This was way more infectious than any pandemic level sort of disease could be. If this happened in the real world, we'd all be out like immediately. Yeah. That's like zombie apocalypse level. Everyone dead pretty much immediately because it just spread so quickly and killed people so fast.
And the I imagine in this game, the incubation period is none. Like it's just instant.
But equally, this is also a game where you've got people with like magic powers and they're able to heal themselves instantaneously. True. So therefore, that lack of it's less about I don't in the real world. It's about I don't want to get infected. I'm going to stay away from you. I could have it. I'm going to have to wait and find out. Mm-hmm. There's a certain degree of, I don't know what the right word is. Because it's the real world and there's a less dead cert chance you're going to die, it's a bit
people
different.
Are a little more blasé.
Because this is a world where you could die instantly, people will still... You can model what real world behavior will be like on the way that people reacted in the game. Because they're immediately under threat.
I just want to highlight the sort of parallels between this and the real world because obviously with the higher level and lower level players, you've got different levels of susceptibility to this. Mm. You've got it actually spreading through proximity, which is mad. You know, you've got people actually able to heal other people and then get infected themselves. You've got asymptomatic carriers. This is like a really, really good model entirely accidentally. Like, it is insane how good this model is for something that was not designed to be a model for this. I mean, there are, again, as I said, some issues with it. It's far too contagious to really like model the real world. But it can model people's behavior, which is brilliant. And what these sort of papers based on this are looking into is whether or not we could build models using video games or using MMORPGs to kind of accurately predict human behavior in these kinds of situations. And someone actually went ahead and tried to make there have been attempts to make games that do this. I mean, you know, this, there was a game that lasted, I think, maybe 50 days, where every day you get to choose sort of what actions you take based on this sort of fake pandemic. But that was just more of a research tool than anything else. And it, you know, you can find the link down in the description. The study had pretty interesting results, but again, it's not quite the same as what happened there, which is no one was prepared for it. No one, like, there was a sense of urgency. There was a sense of fear there because it wasn't a planned thing. No one knew how it was going to end. No one knew when it was going to end. And you can't really get that in a model that is specifically built to be a model for some kind of like outbreak like that, you know? Mm. So really the whole point of this episode is just a question of how do we do this? How do we inject that sort of human behavior into our mathematical models?
I think it's, could you make an argument that, I don't know how you would quantify this like on paper, but could you make the argument that because it's a heightened, it's a heightened reality fantasy world, and this is a heightened virus, fantasy virus, it spreads incredibly fast, it's based, you know, etc., and there's no incubation, like you were saying. I'm wondering what, if there's a way of bringing it therefore back down to Earth, if that makes sense, making it less heightened. And there's a way of bringing, because obviously the pandemic that we had recently was far more grounded, but the behavior, as you've been saying, was similar.
Yeah, I mean, the trouble is that there's no actual stakes.
Like, yeah.
Yes, your game might be ruined, but you're not, like, if you're somebody who's trolling and finds it funny to go and infect people, that might not be quite, I mean, there are people who might genuinely be, like, not bothered about infecting people with a real virus. And we know that there are some people who sort of get off on the idea of infecting people with certain illnesses for whatever reason. But when the actual stakes are you could die, as is the case in some real pandemics, that is going to necessarily alter behavior to a certain extent.
That's,
but you're right, maybe you can take this data as like and recalibrate the data, but still take the kind of scalar data and like frequent, like scalar data, and kind of like dampen it down a bit, and then use that as your input into your actual model of a real pandemic.
Yeah.
Is that what you kind of
As in the sense, like, imagine the data in World of Warcraft is like 5,000%.
Yeah.
We want to bring it down to like 500%.
I mean,
or 100%.
I think it's interesting what you said there, Luke, in that, I mean, I don't know if the stakes, I mean, obviously the stakes are lower. I don't know if the stakes feel all that different necessarily, because again, we've got to think of the sort of mindset, the mentality of someone playing one of these games, because it isn't just a game, right? I know for a fact that if someone were to delete any of my Pokemon save files, you know, the ones that I had from a kid, from when I was a kid, I would be devastated. In fact, my Pokemon Emerald, I do not turn on, because I do not want to see the day where that's gone, because I've funneled hundreds of hours into those games, like hundreds of hours. And if you think about that, spending that much time on something and having the fear of it being taken away, you're going to react in a way that is maybe similar to how you'd react during an actual pandemic. Because bear in mind, during an actual pandemic, there isn't necessarily this sort of imminent threat of death. I think most people kind of feel like, I'll probably be fine. And while you do have people that are intentionally spreading it in the game, and you don't necessarily have that in real life, as I kind of mentioned before, they're a really good model for people that just don't really care. Because there aren't really going to be that many people that just don't care when it comes to...
I'm not totally sure that's fair. Like, somebody who's intentionally spreading it would, for example, deliberately go to an extremely populated area when they don't have any reason to be there, which somebody who doesn't care wouldn't necessarily just go like, right, I'm going to go to Trafalgar Square immediately, despite the fact that I don't need to.
How many no-mask marches did you see in Trafalgar Square?
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But well, that was the difference there, though, is that was a... Those were some... Those were like a statement. They were like, we're not going to do this. These are people who were like, I'm going to obliterate, you know.
But what I'm saying is that... And bear in mind, these populated places in the game were places that you sort of they are communal spaces. This in a similar sense to like going to the supermarket or going to the bank. It's you know, it's not exactly the same, but it's comparable.
It is more, I mean, that by comparison, this is more like driving a lawnmower through a football game and everyone's like, oh, why'd you do that? Yeah. Whereas now this is more of a...
My point isn't that the intent is the same or like the sort of reasoning behind it is the same, but that the outcome is somewhat comparable, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you're saying if you were wanting to infect people, you'd go to the most populated place. Mm. Well, if you wanted to go to the shops, you'd go to the shops. Didn't want to wear a mask, you wouldn't wear a mask. Mm. I'm not saying these are exact one-to-ones, but I'm saying that we can draw parallels and they can be somewhat useful. And yeah, no, look, this was not great for understanding how pandemics work. I'm pretty sure that Blizzard, they didn't want to release the statistics on the event to the CDC. They said that it was a glitch.
Hang on a second, you made a jump there. Did the CDC request the data from Activision Blizzard?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Sorry.
The
CDC was fully wanting that data because it is really good pandemic data, or it could be. You know, but we don't know.
They were afraid the CIA were going to take control of the corrupted blood and use it as a weapon against America's enemies.
Yeah,
I just love that you dropped that in there without pre-warning that the CDC had requested the pandemic data from Activision.
In what context? As in, like, oh, we find this interesting.
Yeah, to study it.
And Blizzard were just like, no.
No. Well, they said that it was a glitch and it wouldn't be useful. Like none of the data, no useful data was available.
You can leave that up to the CDC.
Mm. Yeah. Right.
Like, shut up. You're a video game developer. You don't know anything about what data is useful other than data about video games.
Yeah. You also accidentally made a pandemic in your video game, so I don't think you're the people to be asking as to whether pandemic. You shouldn't be being asked about pandemic stuff. Mm. And you know, a Blizzard then, you know, after that. There have been pandemics in World of Warcraft that were entirely...
Yeah.
Oh, God, I can't say this.
They're like marketing efforts, weren't they?
I was
like
going to say events. Planned, but I can't say that because that would be caught by the YouTube filters in the worst possible way.
Right.
But Blizzard did go on to create similar events in sort of in the future. And the issue was that when they did this, they didn't include any medical researchers and... It was entirely useless in terms of research. And when it comes to using these games for research, as I kind of pointed out earlier, there's going to be a very clear difference between sort of people being suddenly exposed to this without knowing and people going into a game knowing that that's the game that they're playing, right? Mm. And the issue with actually doing sort of the former, the issue with sort of catching people by surprise is that no video game company is going to want to do that because there is a solid chance that you could drive away customers, right? That is a very real possibility. And so it's just really difficult to get data like that. And Blizzard don't want to share it, which is potentially the worst thing that anyone at Blizzard has ever done. I'm sure.
How many years do you reckon it is until somebody makes like a massive multiplayer online Battle Royale, Hunger Games, pandemic game where like the last person standing, like crossover with like Squid Game, but, like the last, like you have to just go about your business in like this normal game, but there's also a pandemic on, and if you die, that's it, you die. The game is free, but the person who is the last person alive wins like $30 million or something. I think that'd be a really interesting, like, weird event
Don't
where you
say
could
that.
Like, I feel like
Mr.
That...
Beast is gonna get ideas. Yeah. Mr. Beast, no.
Mr. Beast, okay? Mr. Beast, you can have that idea, but I want some of your money.
We want some of your money.
No, no. Hey, no.
For the Sci Guys idea.
No, I don't
mind. I just work here. Well, because there's already plenty of games like that now where it's all about Last Man Standing. But there is the extra wrinkle of like, could you catch an infectious disease, which adds to the stakes of the game, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult to design these things, but people are trying. And again, it does give a useful insight. And these other games that I've mentioned, sort of that were intentionally made to sort of model pandemics, they did give valuable insights as well. I mean, we've got the idea of self-protection fatigue, which essentially, as the prevalence of a disease drops, people get more bold in how they kind of approach it. I mean, we've all seen that happen, right? You know, as people feel like they are in slightly less danger, they're going to take more risks. it makes sense, obviously. But another thing that was kind of found from looking at sort of pandemic games is that people will like not do what is best for themselves and others. They just won't, because the way that we kind of view risk is, it kind of sucks, right? So it's the same reason that we don't really do enough about climate change, because it's difficult to get that many people making a collective decision that benefits everyone, that also kind of is slightly detrimental to people. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bit of a pain in the arse to solve climate change, so we haven't done it.
But this is why the corrupted blood thing is so interesting, because, as you've said, no one was expecting it to happen. It just happened naturally, and therefore to a very particular degree, all the behavior was very organic.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the difference with, say, something like climate change is that even if you do believe in it or you don't believe in it, everyone is aware of it.
Yeah.
And therefore they are going to or not act on it. So it's almost, the sad truth is it will almost take like a tidal wave to wipe out a significant amount of people before someone will suddenly go. And even then. It might even be a case of like, oh no, we have to stop tidal waves, rather than going, this is the result of climate change. We have to stop the tidal waves.
It's probably going to be more of a, we've always had tidal waves, haven't
that
we?
That too. Yeah.
We need to learn to live with these tidal waves. Oh, who doesn't like a little bit of swimming, huh? You said that sea levels were going to rise.
Tidal waves bring them down briefly.
And is that the view of the BBC?
Pro tidal wave BBC. No. I shouldn't have mentioned the BBC. I'm just talking about the fact. My point is, it's about the organic nature of the behavior.
Yeah, no.
And why it's very difficult to replicate this for other instances of things
in the real
world.
I wish Blizzard had released that data, because it's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's incredibly interesting. Fingers crossed it happens again. Who knows? Maybe
my question to you, both of you, how what do you think would happen if this would happen in a game in the modern age now? If there will be any kind of difference.
Well, you definitely get like Twitch streamers doing things where they like, how long can I survive without, that kind of thing.
I feel like the demographics of people that play these kinds of games probably overlaps a lot with your sort of Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson types, who would then, out of spite, probably just act the way they said they would act during this pandemic.
But they'd be doing it for the meme. I want to say, going back to what I was saying before about like the heightened reality of it, is there still something in that that you could then use to sort of bring back down and quantify how people will act? And I mean, it's a bit different, because we have now seen how people will react in a pandemic,
which seems to be pretty. I mean, I'm not going to lie, there are so many articles on the corrupted blood incident from 2020. 2021, that era, because they all cropped right back up, because weirdly, this is one of the most recent examples of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, it really was. 2005. 15 years later, it became incredibly popular because we were in a real one and we were like, oh, wow, this predicted things pretty bloody well. Because it really did. And that is the corrupted blood incident.
I hope you enjoyed this episode.
I think we've got one more thing to do, and that's the quickfire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. Virtual pandemic edition.
So the rules of the quickfire quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after I finished asking the question wins. What do they win, Luke?
A little kiss from the infected.
Lord, stop promising horrible things. What is your buzzer?
Oh no.
And Jake, what is your buzzer?
For the Horde.
It's a World of Warcraft reference.
So my question for you is, in what year did the corrupted blood incident happen?
For the Horde.
Oh no.
Jake, I think you got that.
2005, ding, September ding, ding. 13th.
Wow, that is correct. Ooh. And an extra little point for you. So Luke, the infected, give Jake a little kiss.
Okay.
And that extra point, another little kiss.
What?
Another little bit kiss. He got an extra point.
Oh, okay.
No, but now he's infected me, and now I've just infected him back.
Well, that is it from us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to executive producers Dinito and Glitch Rabbit. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupfold everywhere.
You can follow me at 10,000 Hawks everywhere. The number 10,000, Hawks like the bird.
Goodbye.
Get it right this time, Luke.